I just want to begin with just a short reflection. And I wanted to share these words that you heard read from Colossians. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. Those words struck me just as kind of aside in light of the most recent shootings that we've had last night in Ohio, yesterday in Texas, before that in Mississippi, also in California. And the thing that concerns me is that motivations are kind of complex. We don't really understand always what's behind these actions. But initial understanding does point to extremist positions and the idea of breeding racism and bigotry. And so I think that those types of messages that are sent out among us have to be checked, and people have to be held accountable for them, because we're still not quite sure what connection they may have, but in some cases, they certainly do. Keep all the people of those communities in your prayers, and also keep in mind then how then we are to speak as Paul writes, and removing from our language our anger, our wrath, our malice, our slander, and other abusive things. My father's birthday would be tomorrow, August 5th. He would have been turning 90 years old. He died in September nearly 10 years ago. He grew up on a farm near a small town in southeastern Kansas. And from there, after graduating from high school, of all things, he joined the Navy. And during his naval service those years, he serviced radios on aircraft. He never spent time on a ship. And the only single assignment I'm aware of that took him out of the base in California that he was serving sent him up to Alaska for a brief period of time, that he did so on behalf of a friend. His later career, he worked for one company all those years, and he did some travel around the country, not very much, and he did one or two trips to Europe, I believe, in work-related. But the thing that strikes me is that all of our family vacations, and I think all of his travel during retirement, centered on visits to family and friends. And so he stressed the importance of celebrating relationships, of focusing on the relationships of family and loved ones. There was a man who was walking along the beach, and he came across a magic lamp that was buried there. He rubbed the lamp and a genie comes out. And so he says, the genie says, "Well, you get 3 wishes." The man says, "Well, I would like $1 billion in a Swiss bank account." The genie says, "Done." The man said, "I would like unlimited travel around the world, whichever manner or means I would like." And the genie says, "Done." And for the third wish, the man said, "I would like to be irresistible to women." So the genie turns him into a box of chocolates. Now, all of those things are completely contrary to my own father. And I reflect on the fruits of his labor were never directed at himself for just his own personal benefit, but always upon the family, extended family, and friends. Jesus often borrowed from Jewish literature of his day. There is one story that tells of a man who was rich. He was rich through his diligence, his self-denial, and he became wealthy. As a reward, he says to himself, "I have found rest, and now I shall enjoy my goods. But the story says, then yet, he does not know how much time will pass when he leaves these goods to others. And so it's a simple Jewish literature story about preparations that are taken in life, and it's all good and understandable. But Jesus then takes that story and adds many other layers to it. So we read about how Jesus is approached by brothers who want him to probate an estate. That was very common for families to approach a rabbi or a teacher to handle those types of matters. But Jesus doesn't direct his response to that at all, but rather takes the chance or the opportunity to teach, a moment to share a lesson. And he tells a parable. And in this parable, the rich man never sees beyond himself. In the parable, the rich man then shares his innermost thoughts. Only what can I do for me, he is saying. What do I have as a plan for action? I is at the center of everything. We might question whether his actions are practical or if they even make sense. Why pull down the old barns? Is it really necessary that you need then to build just bigger ones? But we look at the layers of the parable that Jesus makes from the story. And of course, he does address greed, the measuring of oneself by abundance or the number of possessions, and how the result of that is often worry and anxiety. There's also a reflection on society. Society then, and as well today. How so often we set higher and higher goals, and we strive and focus on those goals. And when we reach those goals, we then set new ones. And if we don't accomplish or achieve those goals, we see ourselves as failures. But the biggest matter, I believe, that Jesus addresses is that the rich man talks to himself about how he will hoard all that he has into the new barns that he builds. And that will bring security and happiness to his soul. The man says, soul, you will have ample goods. The soul, or the Greek psyche, emphasizes the innermost self. The philosophers of back in those days talked about the soul being that animates the body. It generates our emotions. It is responsible for our thoughts and for our feelings. The Christian will take it even further, where the soul is the presence of God's Spirit. And so then Jesus talks about the man being a fool. For the fool, there is no God. The fool displaces God. There is not the spirit of the soul. The fool does not acknowledge relationship with God, nor the need for God. Idolatrous living is focused on the gods of money and material wealth. Now those things can certainly satisfy the mind, satisfy one's life, but rather there is an emptiness of the spiritual soul. A man met up with a friend of his, and the friend was kind of sad and glum and depressed. So the man asked the friend why he was so depressed. He says, well, 3 weeks ago, my cousin died and left me $10,000. The man said, well, that's great, isn't it? He said, no. The friend said, well, then 2 weeks ago, my aunt died and she left me $50,000. The man said, well, that's something to be happy about. And he says, well, you know, then last week, my grandmother died and she left me $100,000. The man said, well, that's great, isn't it? But then the friend then said, well, this week, nothing. And so then, for the friend, the emphasis is on the value of the gift, the value of the money, not the relationship. The spirit of the soul takes into account a sound and healthy relationship with God, a healthy relationship with oneself, a healthy relationship with others. The fool is without such a spirit would have no such soul. And material things and possessions do not provide for the soul. Paul, in his writing to the Colossians, and shares the good news. He makes a plea for the people to believe what is already true, that we are in Christ. We are in relationship with Christ. The spirit, we have a spirit that fills our soul. And by all of us being in Christ, individual behavior is important because it has an impact on the whole. Who we act, the things that we do have an impact on the body, on the others around us. When I have reflections about my father, I often wonder about if in fact he changed over the years, or maybe just his role changed as father. Certainly, as an adult, I saw him much differently than I saw him as a child. But it seems like, though, as an adult, I saw him as being more sentimental. But also, as I reflect, I saw a soul, seen through his expressions of compassion and love. Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God, a God who continues creating and giving and calling us, a God who is present in the love and the power of the Spirit, who nourishes the soul. Amen.